Well, now let's begin with our 12 steps or our 12 memory pushers. The first one, pay attention. Did you get that? The first one is attention. Now, wouldn't you agree that many times you really forget things because you're not paying attention? And that's why I encourage you throughout this program to really concentrate, and especially with the numerical visual aids and the other aid systems, that you really look and pay attention and picture and see it in your mind, because you have to pay attention to make your memory work. And a tremendous amount of forgetfulness is due to what? The fact that we don't pay attention. So we always have to be alert to remembering and give all of our attention to what we wish to learn. And you will find that when you do that, you will become more aware of what's around you if you're willing to pay attention. So, step one, pay attention. Now, the second step is that we have to exaggerate things. We remember more if we exaggerate things. And didn't we do that with a number of our visual aids? For instance, do we ever really see a flamingo around a light switch turning it on and off? No. So we what? We exaggerated. And a lot of these things are a little crazy and overboard, but the fact that we exaggerate things helps us to remember. When we think about the giraffe and the hailstones hitting the giraffe on the head, that's overboard. That's exaggerated. We never see that, but because we are exaggerating, we have a tendency to remember it. So we want to use the tool of exaggeration. Well, the third step is action. Well, let's think about the juggler. When I told you to stick your hands out there and move them around, you were using that action step, if you will, and you pictured moving your hands very fast, moving the gnats from your face. Action is step three. Don't forget that. The fourth memory pusher was absurdness. Absurdness. Now, we made a lot of things really crazy and really absurd, didn't we? But didn't it also help us to remember things? You remember the sixth plague? Yeah, the sores and the boils. Yeah, we probably don't want to go there. And let me give you an example how I use some of these memory pushers. Number one, to be a better teacher. And number two, to help my student learn quicker. I'll give you an example with using the tool of absurdness, or that memory pusher, and exaggeration. One of the things I'm recognized for doing, as a way of showing people how quick we can learn, I'll take somebody who has never flown an airplane before, and I will literally give them only 15 minutes of memory, mind, and flight instruction. I put them in an airplane and I work with them, and in less than an hour and a half, I have them landing and taking off an airplane entirely on their own. Very, very interesting. Talk about an adrenaline rush. Tremendous amount of stress involved, but it's really powerful. Normally, a task like that can take anywhere from 8 to 20 hours, but we can literally condense it in less than 2 hours by understanding how the mind works. So one of the things that I do in helping a person appreciate the seriousness of what they're doing with this 2-hour flight experience is I incorporate the memory pusher absurdness and exaggerate. Now, let me explain to you how I do this. I tell the person as I sit them in the pilot seat, I say, look, we're on the ground, the airplane's not started. When we start flying and taking off and flying around, when you pull the yoke, that raises the airplane. The yoke is what you might think of as a steering wheel inside of a car. Now, the average flight instructor would say, if you pull that yoke back too much, the airplane is going to stall and we're going to crash. Well, here's what I do. Using the absurd and the exaggerate memory pusher, I tell the person, if you pull back on the yoke too much, we're going to stall and you're going to kill yourself. See, I use the word kill as opposed to crash because kill appeals to the emotions. It's a lot stronger. It's a little overboard, exaggerating, etc., but the mind remembers it easier and it makes a stronger impression. So these are some ways that you can use some of these memory tools or memory pushers to be a better teacher also. The next memory pusher is relationship. It is very helpful if we can relate what we're trying to remember with something that we already know. For example, if I meet someone by the name of Larry, well, I immediately relate them to my brother Larry. So I picture them together shaking hands or maybe even hugging. I may associate them and associate the relationship of the two Larrys. This is also a very powerful memory tool. The next memory pusher is substitution. Substitution, that's a good one. Here's how you could use substitution. Let us say there's something specifically that you wanted to remember. You would then substitute what you wanted to remember with maybe something on the numerical visual system. Let me give you an example. Let's go to, in your mind's eye, the Buffalo Nickel. So what you would do is pull out, again, in your mind's eye, pull out the buffalo and replace the buffalo with what it is that you want to remember. Thus, you have substitution. Got that? Let's go to the next one. We're going to now start to use our senses. How about taste? That's a memory pusher. Sometimes taste is good, but a lot of times, too, you may find that it's hard to describe a taste unless you're comparing it with something else. But if we use taste, here's something that we might do. We could exaggerate the taste of food or the taste of an object, couldn't we? If you need to remember something maybe about pepper, you don't just want to say it's hot. You might imagine that the pepper is so hot that your tongue is literally on fire and the fire is so big that you need a fire extinguisher to put it out. So we're also exaggerating too, aren't we? We're using taste that's not just hot, but it's fiery hot, and you're adding more to the story, more to your imagination. Now, one thing that you'll appreciate by the time you're finished here, or maybe not appreciate, is my imagination. And hopefully, you'll be able to develop a good or maybe an absurd imagination like I have. Well, the next one is smell. Smell is another memory pusher that we can use. So to describe smell to your memory, you might want to even put your finger or your thumb and index finger to your nose and pinch your nose. Use it as a trigger. Smell. Or maybe wave your hand or your fingers in front of your nose. Ooh, whew, what a smell. Now we can also use touch. That's a great, powerful memory pusher. And sometimes, though, we might find the need to use pain more than pleasure. If we think about something, we could add something painful to it, exaggerate, go overboard with it. Maybe when you're picturing it in your mind, you could scream and go, ow, that hurts. Use all the senses. Pain is a real good memory pusher. It appeals to the emotions. Pain. All right, let's go to the next one. Hearing. That's another memory pusher. That's our next one. Now, the sense of hearing can be used to try to enhance the memory, but it also is one of the weakest aids in comparison to the other senses. And the reason for this is what we hear is usually what? It's intangible. So what we need to do as we're trying to develop memory pushers with regards to hearing, we want to turn it into something, do you remember? Turn it into something tangible. So remember, use all your senses. So be creative and get that imagination going. So let's go to the next step. The 11th memory pusher is to demonstrate. Now, we've already discussed briefly the importance of demonstrating. And demonstrating, or using that particular step, is something that you want to continue to do. Now, do you remember how we demonstrated with a juggler? I asked you to do what? Put your hands out, pretend that you were juggling. That's an actual demonstration. And also for number 6, remember what I wanted you to do for the monkey's tail? To reach out. And the reason I asked you to do that is to place your hand out there is because it will trigger you to remember number 6 and also will trigger you to remember number 3. And we've used the example before, but if I said to you, what was number 3? And you said, oh, number 3, in your mind it's getting a little blank there. Well, all I have to do is tell you to pretend you're what? You're juggling, because we demonstrated it and your mind would trigger that with juggler or number 3. Now, last but not least, and finally the most important of all the memory pushers, you've got to see. See it in your mind. Yes, we've got to train our minds to see everything we want to learn. Remember, we've got to make it tangible, make it a picture, make the mind work. And I think at this point, I've emphasized it enough, but I will be emphasizing this even more throughout the rest of the program. So I hope that you could utilize the tools of these memory pushers, and if you do, you will find that you will definitely increase your memory power and you will continue to be an expert in mnemonics. Well, we don't want to stop here. Let's keep going. Now I think it's appropriate to do a nice little quick review of the 10 plagues. I've given you time to relax a little bit and think and learn. Now let's go over the 10 plagues and see if your memory has been able to put it together. Okay, what we're going to do, though, is we're going to eliminate the numerical visual system. So I'm going to ask you, what was the first plague? And all you're going to do is say, boom, what is the first plague? Water into blood. Don't tell me number one. Don't give me the numerical visual system. All right, let's go. We'll start from one. I already gave you that one, but let's start from the top. Number one, the first plague was what? Water into blood. What was the second plague? Do you remember? Frogs. Picture and see it in your mind. Train your mind first mentally to go to the numerical visual aid, then give the answer or give the plague. Number three, the third plague. Gnats, very good. Number four, picture and see it in your mind. Number four, the fourth plague, flies. Excellent. Number five, picture and see it in your mind. It was the pestilence. Very good. Number six, that's an easy one. It's coming all out on you. The sores and the boils. Number seven was the hailstorm. Excellent. Number eight, picture and see it in your mind. The locusts. Number nine, 3 days of darkness. And number 10, remember what number 10 was? The death of the firstborn of man and animals. Well, I hope you did very well on that review. And if you need a little bit of work, it doesn't hurt to stop the tape and go back. Because if you don't go back and get this in your head, you're going to have a real challenge as we keep going. So make sure you get those in your mind. Now, let's go to the chapter on the place system. The place system. We're going to discuss the place system 1 through 10. Now, the place system is another technique that we're going to use to help improve our memory. And constantly throughout our daily lives, we have things that we have to remember. Maybe it's a schedule or a list. It could be a number of different things. So we're going to use the place system to work and put the memory together with things that we have to remember. So this is similar to the numerical visual system, but I'm just giving you another technique, another way of using and enhancing the memory. Now, the place system will enable us to remember in order what is on a list or on a schedule. Now, let's imagine, if you will, that we have five things that we need to remember through the day. And here are the five things. Number one, we have to call the airport. Number two, we have to get money at the bank. Number three, we have to get gas. Number four, we have to see the eye doctor. And number five, we have to pay the water bill. Now, if we had to remember this list without memory aids, of course, in a period of time, we would be able to do so. But follow me through the place system, and you will see that it works a lot easier once you have the place system in your long-term memory. Now, in Chapter 2, we had learned how to give a number a visual aid, which helped those numbers stand out in our mind. And remember when we did that. The pen was number 1, and we also emphasized the importance of being consistent with what we need to visualize each number as. In other words, from here on out, anytime that you see that number 1, you should always see a what? You should always see a pen. And when you see number 5, you'll always see a buffalo nickel. So continue to be consistent with it. Now, basically, on the place system, what we're going to do is actually take our mind on an imaginary trip. Now, each position is called a hook or a peg, and each one of these positions are a predetermined place that we will be putting into our memory bank. So an item or a thought that we wish to recall will be related to these imaginary places that you have put in your mind. Now, what we're trying to remember can easily be removed mentally from these positions or these hooks or pegs. One thing we have to keep in mind again is never forget to see these things in your mind. Okay, let's begin to take our minds on a trip. By the way, it also wouldn't hurt if you look along in your book with me, because that's going to help you what? See. That's a very strong memory pusher. If you're listening in your car, it will work, but try to picture and see it in your mind. Place one on the place system is the gate. You come home and you drive up to your gate, which is closed. All right, look at the picture in your book. Notice the gate. Picture and see it in your mind. Place one is the gate. Now, after we go to the gate, we notice that there is a lock on the gate. So place two is going to be a what? Place two is going to be a lock. So picture a lock in your mind. So now you come to the gate, and then all of a sudden, you see this big lock on the gate. Now you've got to take the lock off. So you take the lock off. The next step or position in our place system is the driveway. Look at the picture there. Picture and see it in your mind. Now, if you need to close your eyes just for a bit to picture and see it in your mind, feel free to do so. Of course, don't do that when you're driving, right? Okay, open your eyes again. And the next position or peg or hook in our place system is the door. So we have to go to the gate, then the what? Then the lock, then the driveway, and then the door. Now, after the door, we go to the door knob. Notice I'm setting up a place system, if you will, or an order in which we do these things, a chronological order. The door knob. Picture and see it in your mind. Now, notice we're starting to go a little bit faster than previously when we first started, because hopefully by this time you're catching on and you're really understanding how the mind and the memory works. So after the doorknob, perhaps we could turn the doorknob, and as we enter the house, what do we see? We see a big dog, a real big dog. And maybe we could picture this dog licking us all over the face. Again, we're using some of those memory pushers. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Sure we have. Okay, all right. Now, after the dog, we're now getting ready to settle down in our house. So we're going to take off our coat or our jacket, and we're going to enter the closet to hang it up. Picture and see it in your mind. We're going to the closet. There's the closet. Then we put the coat or the jacket in it. Now, the next position in our play system is the TV. Now, as evening starts to settle in, you turn on the television or the TV. Turn on the TV is that next place. Picture and see it in your mind. Now, after that, we go to the lounge chair. Think about that favorite lounge chair. Maybe you can think about the one that you normally sit in at home. So you're tired and you just plop into it. Picture and see the lounge chair in your mind. Now, after the lounge chair, it's starting to get a little dark in your living room, so you turn on the lamp to get better lighting. You turn on the lamp. Reach over if you want. Turn on the lamp to get better lighting. Now, let's do a slow review. We're going to go over the 10 positions in our play system. We're going to begin with the first one, and that was a what? The gate. Excellent. After the gate, we see the lock. Very good. After the lock, we have a driveway. After the driveway, we go to the door. So now we have to open up the door, so we reach for the doorknob. And notice I didn't say that we turn the doorknob, then we open the door. It steps us backward to the door, and we don't want to do that. Now, I don't mean to confuse you here, but think about how we're doing that. So you want to go to the door, then the doorknob. You turn the doorknob and you see the dog after you open it, okay? You've got to think in that order. Now, that may not work for you. It does for me. You're going to have to do or use what works for you, but make sure you still use this same play system. Now, later on, after you're done with this program, you can design your own play system in your own home or in your office, whatever works for you. Now, after we see this big dog that licks us all over the face, what do we go to? We go to the closet. Why do we go to the closet? Because we're putting in our jacket or our coat. The next position is the television or the TV. So after the TV, we're going to plop down into our lounge chair, and then we go to the lamp. Now it's time for our next review. Now keep in mind, as you're doing this review, don't feel bad if you forget some of the places in the play system. But what you don't want to do is look back. You want to stretch your memory as much as you possibly can, and then, as a last resort, go ahead and look back into your notebook. Remember what this does. By not looking back right away and stretching, it makes a stronger impression on your memory. So at this particular point, what I want you to do is go over the review in your book, and that's the review for the place system. Well, how did you do? Well, I'm sure you did fine. Now, let's add the five items that we wanted to remember in the beginning of this chapter to the first five hooks or positions of the place system. So just for a review, let's go through the five items that we wanted to remember. Okay, here they are. Number one, we had to call the airport. Number two, we had to get money from the bank. Number three, we had to get some gas. Number four, we had to see the eye doctor. And number five, we had to pay the water bill. So let's begin. When we come home, we first come to the what? The first thing on the place system was the gate. Now remember, the gate will always be or begin your point of departure. So the first item on our list was to call the airport. So here's what I do. At this point, I might see hundreds of little propellers in motion on the gate. And when I try to open up the gate, what happens? Oh, my fingers get all cut off. Ouch! Ooh, here I go again. Do you see what we're trying to do here? I'm starting to use some of those memory pushers, aren't I? We have some action, we certainly have exaggeration, and there's a lot of pain. I don't have any fingers left. These are the things that we want to continue to utilize to help our memory. Use those memory pushers. Now, the gate is starting to take off because it has all those little what on it, those little propellers. So now what have I done? I've related the little propellers to the airport. I associate those two things in my mind, and my mind sees the propellers. So I automatically think of the airport. Now I can go a step further by throwing a telephone line or a telephone cord into the propellers as the gate is taking off. And in turn, this will make the gate crash. Now this will make me think, well, why did the gate crash? Ah, because I threw the telephone cord into the propellers. And the fact that I threw the telephone cord at the gate tells me that the telephone cord in some way relates to the what? The telephone. And in this case, I would have to make a telephone call to the airport. I put the telephone and the telephone cord with propeller and airport. It might sound a tad complicated, but remember, once you get into the routine, it becomes very, very simple. Now, the next step on the place system is I had to remove the what? The lock. That's the second thing. The next item to remember on the list is that we had to go to the bank. So in some way, I've got to now relate the lock to money, which in turn will remind me to go to the bank to get money. Now, I can picture a large, beautiful, heavy, solid gold lock. And I try to pick it up, but oh, it's just too heavy. And as I'm looking at the lock, I hear a noise behind me. And as I turn around, it's a bank robber who hits me over the head and he takes my gold lock. Now, using the bank robber in this story tells me that I have to go to the bank. I mentally relate that together. Now, of course, you have to picture in your mind what a bank robber looks like. So when you remember this, you can vividly see a bank robber. If these images or associations that I'm sharing with you, if they don't work for you, use what does. That's the bottom line. Use what works for you. Make up your own mental story. Kids are very good at that. Now, the next thing to remember is that we have to get gas. Now, the third place or third item on the place system was the driveway. So, we pretend driving up to the driveway and we notice that the driveway is engulfed in what? In flames. You see, the flames should help us relate to gas. So the gas is on the driveway and that caused the driveway to catch on fire. And that tells us that the third thing is in the driveway. The third item that we have to remember is what? We have to get gas because we see the driveway is all engulfed in flames. We see the fire and fire and more fire. Okay, the next point on our place system is the what? It was the door. And the next item that we want to remember on our list is that we needed to see the eye doctor. Now, we could picture seeing ourselves looking at the door, and you're looking all over there and you just can't find it. You're going in circles and circles around and round, and you're asking yourself, why am I going round and round in circles? Because I'm looking for the door. I can't see it. The idea that you're picturing yourself not being able to see should help you relate that you need to see who? The eye doctor. Okay, it's a little crazy and it takes a lot of imagination, but it works. Now, I have to admit, it is a little fun to get a little crazy and go with these memory aids. Now, maybe if that one doesn't work for you, think of another one. Perhaps you look at the door and you see hundreds of little eyes and eyelashes all over the door staring at you. If that works for you, then use that. You know, the nicest thing about the mind and these memory aids is the fact that a lot of young people really enjoy doing this because it takes the monotony out of studying, doesn't it? It makes it a lot more fun, and it's far from boring. I think that's what I've enjoyed a lot about teaching mnemonics to people. I get a little crazy, and I get a lot of laughs from it, but it does make it fun. Okay, the fifth point or place on our place system is the what? You have to reach for it. It was the doorknob. The next thing that we need to remember is that we have to pay the water bill. So here's how we're going to remember that. We're going to try to open the door by turning the doorknob. And the doorknob comes off or falls off, and tons of what? Tons of water just comes through the hole where the doorknob used to be. And as you look closer, you notice that there are hundreds of dollar bills coming through the doorknob along with the water. So the hundreds of dollar bills should help you to relate to the fact that we have to pay the water bill. See how we put it together? Notice the imagination again. We pull the doorknob and water comes out. Perhaps we could picture ourselves standing in front of the door, and when that water came all the way through that doorknob, it knocked us down. Maybe we had our best suit on or our best dress on, and now we're just soaked and sopping wet. Boo-hoo, poor me. Okay, let's go for another little review. Now, at this time, do the same thing we always do in the reviews. Write all the information you need to, and if you have a tendency to forget it, try to analyze why you forgot it. Did you not see it in your mind? Did you not maybe pay enough attention? And then as a last resort, look back through the book to get the answers. Don't forget to do that. Well, that review wasn't too bad, was it? You know, at this point, you may be thinking, Gary, I don't even have a dog or a gate at my house. Should I still use these objects in the play system? Well, don't feel bad, I don't either. But the important thing is to have an order in which your mind can see these aids, as long as you can picture them clearly and easily recall them to your memory. That's the bottom line. Now, do we have to stop at these 10 things in the play system? Can we do more? Yes, we can keep going, can't we? And that's what we're going to be doing in a little bit. Now, for example, you could use the play system in maybe the restroom. Every morning, most people have a routine, so the first thing that they may do is go to the bathroom. So if you want, you could use the toilet as place number one. Then you might want to brush your teeth, so place number two could be a toothbrush. Place number three could be the toothpaste. Place number four could be the sink, because you have to wash your hands in the sink. And you could continue to do this in any way that you want. You could use your car. You start off with your keys. That would be the first place in your play system. Then you have to unlock the door. Then maybe sit in the car. Then the ignition, the steering wheel. It can go on and on. So you can add to it in any way that helps you enable your memory to work. Use it and apply it. Applying the play system can be used if you're ever asked to do a talk or a speech. It's really great for that. For example, let's say your subject is about the damaged rainforest in South America, and you were asked to develop some points on how to prevent its damage. How could you use the play system to help you memorize your speech? Well, perhaps your first point in your outline or your talk is about the dying rainforest. Your outline brings to your attention that it is man who continues to destroy the forest by cutting down and burning the trees. Now, to remember this point, we must begin with the first place or peg in the place system. Then we connect our first thought in our outline with what? With the first peg, or the gate in this particular case. We can picture the trees growing through the gate and they begin to smoke because somebody's caught them on fire. So picture and see it in your mind. Now you should easily be able to relate the first thought in your talk with the first point in your play system. Your second thought or idea would next be linked to the lock, which is again the second hook or point of departure in the play system. And you can build your play system with as many hooks as you wish, as we talked about earlier. So if you have a very long speech, you would probably have to add to your play system. So stretch the memory and add as many places as possible in your play system, and make sure you use them regularly. Okay, now let's go over to our next chapter and add to our play system. Now before we do that, I first want you to do a nice quick little review with me. I don't want you to look at your book. Let's go over the play system 1 through 10. You remember what they were? Here we go. Number 1 was the gate. Good. The second peg or place in the play system was the lock. Excellent. Then after the lock, we came to the driveway. After the driveway, it was the door. Very good. After the door, we reach for the doorknob. Then we see the dog. Then we go to the closet. Remember, picture and see it in your mind. After the closet, we go to the next place in a play system, and that was what? The TV or television. Then we go to the lounge chair. And after the lounge chair, we go to the lamp. That's the play system 1 through 10. Now let's go to chapter 6, adding to your play system 11 through 15. You're going to see in just a little bit what I'm building up to. Okay, play system number 11. Let's picture the 11th place as the kitchen table. It's time for dinner and you're starving now. And a good thing to keep in mind is that you don't have to necessarily imagine or picture the kitchen table that you see in the book. You can actually picture or imagine your own kitchen table, the one that you use regularly. That helps your mind relate to something that's a lot easier because you already know it's there. You already know about it, if you will. It's easier to picture in your mind. Now, the next place in our play system are the kitchen chairs. The kitchen chairs. So, first, we have the table, the kitchen table, then the kitchen chairs. Now, after the kitchen chairs, we have the what? The plate. Picture and see it in your mind. The next place in our play system, or the next position, or hook, or peg, whatever you want to call it, was the plate. After the plate, we have a glass. Then after the glass, we have the refrigerator. Picture and see it in your mind. All right, now it's time for another one of those little reviews, and I want you to take your time on this one and go ahead and do the play system 1 through 15 by yourself. I'm going to trust you did well on that review. You know, if you stop and think about it and review all the things that we've learned so far to memorize, it's quite a bit, isn't it? We've learned the 10 numerical visual aids. We have learned the 10 plagues, 15 places in our play system. We've learned to memorize 5 things on our list that we had to do, like the eye doctor and the gas. Now we're really starting to increase our memory, but we can't stop here. We've got to keep going. Now, as we keep going, though, keep in mind, if you are having problem getting a little confused, what do you need to do? You probably need to take a what? Take a break. Take a break maybe for a few minutes or even a few hours or perhaps even a day or two. And while you're taking a break, you want to work diligently on the information that you've previously learned and try to keep reviewing it so that you can get it in your long-term memory. Remember what we said about the short-term memory. If you put too much information in it at one time, you're going to what? You're going to lose it and you're going to get confused. Now we're going to go to Chapter 7, adding your numerical visual system 11 through 20. We already have 1 through 10 down pat, don't we? Now we're going to continue to add to it. So let's begin. The number 11 is represented by a goalpost. Can you see that for the number 11? A goalpost, like you would see maybe at a football game. That's an easy one, isn't it? Picture and see it in your mind. Take your time. Build a nice, solid foundation by training your mind to picture and see things. The number 12 is represented by 12 eggs. That's an excellent one, isn't it? Get it? Excellent. Anyway. Now we can think of something really absurd with that. We could think of maybe drinking or swallowing raw eggs? Oh, pretty gross. Let's not go there. So remember one of those 12 memory pushers? Make it absurd and crazy? Well, that's what we're doing here. 12 eggs, raw eggs, any type of eggs. 12 is represented by a dozen or 12 eggs. Let's go to 13. 13 is represented by an elevator. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that most elevators don't go to the what? To the 13th floor due to superstition. So that's why we're going to use the elevator for 13. 13 is elevator. Now, the number 14 will be represented by a sailboat with a very large mast and sail. Look in your book, picture, and see it in your mind. 14 is a sailboat with a large mast and sail. There's the 14 in the boat. Number 14 is represented by a sailboat. Now, 15 is represented by a 15-cent stamp. Maybe you can imagine licking the stamp and it gets stuck to your tongue, and now you've got to really pull it off. Ow! There goes those memory pushers again. Keep using them. Number 15 is represented by a 15-cent stamp. Now we go to number 16. The numerical visual aid for number 16 is a large soup spoon hanging on the wall. Now obviously, the side of the wall is the 1 in 16, and the 6 would be the large-sized soup spoon. Picture and see it in your mind. It's very important to do. Now let's go to 17. That's an easy one. 17 is represented by an axe in a tree. The tree is the 1, and the axe is the 7. Can you see or picture it in your mind? The 1 and the 7. And you know, to go even further with your memory ability, perhaps you could pretend or imagine throwing the axe into the tree. In other words, we could use action here. Remember, that was one of the memory pushers. So we have to use some action if we really want to get it. So what I want you to do is to pretend to throw that axe. Go ahead and throw it into the tree. Go ahead and do it. Throw an axe in the tree. Make some action. Let your mind see and picture the axe in the tree, 17. Okay, the next number is 18. The number 18 in the numerical visual system is represented by a broom being held by a snowman. A broom being held by a snowman. So the broom will be your 1, and the snowman will be your 8. Now make sure you don't do it the other way around. That makes what? 81. You can't do the snowman holding the broom. It's got to be the broom being held by the snowman. Let the mind see it that way. Picture and see it in your mind. 19 is represented by a punching bag and a boxer's glove. The punching bag will help us to represent the number 1, and the glove represents the number 9. Again, picture and see it in your mind. Now, if you need to, try to make that glove with your hand there and bend it down and make that number 9 and pretend that you're punching a bag. Look at the picture. See it in your mind. The punching bag and the boxer's glove is number 19. Well, our last one, the number 20, is represented by a swan. Number 20 is represented by a swan. Now, can you see that picture there? See the curved neck of the swan that makes the 2, and the swan's beautiful big body completes the 0 in 20. Picture and see it in your mind. A swan is 20. Okay, it's time for one of those reviews again. I would like you to do the same thing. I want you to do the review, review all the numerical visual system 1 through 20, and remember, if you have a tendency to forget a little something, don't cheat yourself. Stretch as much as you can, and then once you're at the point where you just can't get it anymore, as a last resort, go ahead and go back into the book and look up the information that you've forgotten. Go ahead and begin doing that review now.